and the fact that the Secretary of State, Bill Galvin, simply refuses to enforce the public records law. Well, there is a push right now to change all that, and that push is being, I think, angered by the Society of Professional Journalists. And we have Bill Marcus. He is on that board right now, and he is among the many, many journalists who are fighting to change this. I mean, frankly, I think that Common Cause got it right. When a solid majority, 58% of the Commonwealth, 351 cities and towns, did not respond to public records requests, FOIA requests, within the 10-day limit set by state law when they receive a written request, well, I'm sorry. This is something that needs to change. The Senate needs to do the right thing. It's happened to me very recently. I'm looking for records from the Middlesex County District Attorney's Office. 3 weeks after I sent my request, I'm like, hello? Do I need to get the ABC News lawyers involved? And then you get some song and dance about why your request is not privy to the public records law. And Bill Marcus, I know this is one of those complaints, laments that you hear from reporters all over the Commonwealth.
Oh, this is driving me crazy. It's driving you crazy, too. I mean, everything that we've seen that's progressive in this state, from the Catholic Church sex scandals to other issues, things that we've been wanting to find out but can't always get to the bottom of. You were talking about the Boston Marathon bomber case, and there are still sealed records there. Of course, those two areas are not areas that are affected by this bill and this fight, but you're bringing up areas where records make a difference. Would you like to know why?
Records make a huge difference, and I'm glad you brought up the Boston Marathon bombing case because, you know, you want to see me get apoplectic. The idea that he has been convicted, the court has ruled that he will not get a new trial. There is absolutely nothing that mandates that these records remain sealed other than the government covering up their own, culpability in certain parts of this crime. It's maddening that people allow this to happen in the state. In New York City, we had a team of lawyers who worked for all the news agencies that would go after these sort of blatant outrages that are being committed day in and day out by municipalities. But here, it's like every man for himself. And I think that's why to see an orchestrated effort that's anchored by the Society of Professional Journalists is absolutely key. And Bill Marcus, I'm going to let you have the floor, but you just push a button with me and set me flying off the radar. But go right ahead.
You're very kind to praise the Society of Professional Journalists New England chapter. We're one of over 40 organizations that are part of the Massachusetts Freedom of Information Alliance. And credit be told to the ACLU, to Common Cause, MassPIRG, Massachusetts Sierra Club. You can find this entire list at the ACLU site if you want to read it. But we're just one of many. We're just trying to do our job here. Questions that you raise, questions that we all raise, from the why did the 2024 Olympics not come to Boston, and what happened in the process? What are there records on that we don't know about? To the successful.
How about the fact that probation once again has a contract that the Inspector General found was written in pencil for the GPS monitoring devices that don't work. And we see person after person wearing the bracelet breaking into the Worcester Armory, shooting a police officer, which happened a couple of weeks ago when Officer Kirk Stokinger was shot. The guy who shot him was wearing a bracelet. Do they work? Do they not work? I mean, this is a question that should be answerable by the Department of Probation. But guess what? Because they're part of the judiciary, they don't have to answer to FOIA requests.
I'm trying to make people who are listening care. Do we know everything that went into getting GE to come here, the $145 million? Do we know? Can we find out through records?
Listen, we saw the photo in the Globe on Sunday. Annie Linsky did a phenomenal job raising the questions about Hillary Clinton's ties to Wall Street. And this is something that, especially here in Massachusetts, when you have two senators, Ed Markey and Liz Warren, who have made this a central part of their campaign. And if either one of them come out and endorse Hillary Clinton now, the hypocrisy will be absolutely staggering. And that's because of months and months and months of investigative reporting, looking through those records, which were easily accessible because it had to do with campaign, finance, and speaking fees. But if you try to do a similar story about GE, as you correctly pointed out, it's impossible. There's no way you could ever connect the dots like that because no one will acquiesce to the public records law.
Most people don't know what the SPJ is. Our job as journalists and their ethics that they roll out are to seek truth and report it, minimize harm, be accountable, and act independently. That's what we're trying to do as journalists. In Massachusetts, you're reading a you were talking about the Northeastern study before, and that's I want to get to that in a second, which is just that just got me personally angry, and we're not even talking about the legislation yet. But Massachusetts is second to, here it is. Ah, you know who does a better job than we do, Michelle?
Everybody?
Mississippi and Arkansas. We're 40th.
And
40th. 40th. That's according to the Center for Public Integrity. Massachusetts.
40th.
Yeah. Massachusetts, when it comes, and I say we. I mean, you can tell by the way I speak. I'm not originally from here. I'm from the great state, the Empire State of New York. But I live here, and I try to do my job as a reporter here, and people that are SPJ members and people that are not, anyone who does any reporting in the state of Massachusetts, has a mind-boggling time trying to get a record from a police department or from a town or a city hall or a city councilor. They're asked to be charged money. I hope we've made our case as to why this is impossible. Say, for example, you want to do a story, as someone did, or you're a local attorney. Let's say you're not even a reporter now. You're a local attorney who wants the public records about the accuracy of a breathalyzer test. Last year, the Massachusetts State Police, who also are lobbying against our position on this bill, and that's fine. You know, everybody has a chance to say what they want. But the Mass State Police told that local attorney it would cost him $2.7 million for public records related to data about the accuracy of breathalyzer tests.
That's just ridiculous to even put something like that in writing. I'm with you on that. But let me put it to you this way, too. Try to find out anything about a prisoner who is in Department of Correction custody who just assaulted three prison guards. They have more protection to privacy as a convict in the DOC than I do as a homeowner or that state trooper does to having anything about his medical history released. It's maddening the way it works.
Michelle,
and why it matters to people, and Bill Marcus, I think that's what you're trying to translate to people. Why this matters? Well, when some guy with a GPS monitoring device robs your mother, you're going to want answers. You're going to want answers. When Kickham Lang costs you, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars in disciplinary actions every single month because he is this menace behind the wall at MCI Cedar Junction, that should matter to you. When the Department of Children and Families lies about the number of times they visited that poor little girl known as Baby Doe, Bella Bond, then that should be open to a public record request. And these are the things that are happening. Dead kids, violent crime, and a total lack of accountability from our lawmakers. And we're letting them get away with it because people act like it doesn't matter. It's just a bunch of reporters who have to pay money for information. No, these people are accountable to us. They work for us. And they refuse to be in any way accountable for the things that are going wrong in the state of Massachusetts. And that's maddening.
In fact, on prisoners, you can't even get a copy of the menu of what they serve them. A colleague of mine for the Daily News here, who covers Massachusetts for the Daily News, told me that. She couldn't even get the menu, what they're serving them. Michelle, the reason why this is important right now is because there's a bill pending in the state legislature, as you told your listeners, that might make this a little bit better. It was a committee bill last year. We testified on it. Many other organizations testified on it. And then when it became a piece of legislation that the whole House of Representatives passed, it actually doesn't make the situation any better. Now it's sitting in the state Senate. And in the state Senate, we have many allies who are telling us that they're hopeful that they can do a better job or reflect the sorts of amendments that we're looking for, such as putting firm timelines for providing the records, giving us in the law a straightforward, effective appeals process, and mandatory attorney's fees. This is vital when we win the right to get these records, and we have to go to court to get these records. We don't have the law behind us to get the attorney's fees for it. In fact, the bill as it was written that came out of the House is so convoluted and gives time extensions that are so long. It convolutes the legal process and also creates a disincentive for attorneys who would want to take on our cases.
I think that makes perfect sense. And Bill Marcus, the idea that the House has already passed this is good news for all of us. It's good news not just for reporters, because nobody cares about us, let's be clear, but it's good news for the public. Because, look, the Secretary of State has some very questionable dealings when it comes to a veterans project, a development project in his own neighborhood of Brighton. So when the guy who's in charge of the public records laws refuses to reveal his role in a development that would give affordable housing to veterans, that should frighten everybody who's paying taxes in the state of Massachusetts. And we have had the head of the Alston Brighton Veterans Coalition on the show to talk about the extreme lengths that Bill Galvin has gone to stop this project of affordable housing that can be earmarked for veterans from moving forward, because he is also the guy who decides whether or not a building is of a historic history in the city. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing that they have all of these different roles in one guy. A guy who refuses to answer questions is the one who is in charge of making sure that other municipalities and other agencies answer the questions in a timely fashion. It's crazy.
Firm time frames. We want straightforward, effective appeals process. We want mandatory attorney's fees and reduced fees for public information. Some of these people are trying to charge $700, $800, $900 to get records that should be available online. There's no reason. This is the year 2016. There is no reason why most of these records are not available with a couple of keystrokes.
I do not agree more. Could you talk a little bit about the idea? And I didn't know this, that the court system is going to put all of their records online, except we can't access them. Do you know how much time I spend going to courthouses, pulling records from cranky clerks? Some of them are fantastic, let me be clear.
Some of them are great. I met a clerk in Dorchester, and it was on the Ashling Brady.
Dorchester is one of the best courts out there for that. They're great.
And let me send a shout out to that clerk, whoever she is. Thank you.
And I'm with you. This happens sometimes, but there's absolutely, positively no reason that all of us shouldn't be able to access this stuff online. I mean, and then you talk about the cost. You go to one court, there's a buck a page, they only take cash. You go to another court, they won't take cash, they only take the check. No one takes the credit card. You never know where the money's going. You're writing it out to a clerk, like clerk of courts in Fall River, write it out to that guy personal. I'm writing a personal check to a clerk? How does that make any sense?
You know, I did testify on this specifically when Representative Cocott had his hearing, and it was because of covering the Ashling Brady McCarthy case. And what?
Oh, that's a big one. Yeah. I couldn't get any records on that.
Well, and would have been nice if I didn't have to keep driving up to Woburn all the time, but I did. That's why they pay us the big bucks, right? Someday we'll have a conversation about
what Bill Marcus. Oh yeah, that's a conversation for another time.
What reporters really make. I think the average for this is years ago, but it probably hasn't gotten much better for a TV reporter. About $20,000-$40,000 now. How much do they make? They can't make that. They don't make that much. Nobody's getting rich.
Nobody's watching television because they keep firing the people that are making money that you love, like Maria. Like Fox 25 is in the toilet. Because they're getting rid of the people that people love to watch. The only people there that I still love are Bob Ward and Gene Lavansky. I don't know. I run into reporters. I've been on the streets for 10 years in Boston again, 20 years in New York. I don't recognize a soul out there anymore. Not one.
Let me bring this.
Dan Housley, Channel 7. I mean, like, this is what they're doing. They're trying to dumb down, cheapen out, and it's having a real effect on journalism.
About the Ashling Brady McCarthy case, I was covering that for the Irish Times. I was covering that for the Irish Daily Mail and for a small radio station in Ashling Brady McCarthy's hometown, the Northern Sound Radio. And Ireland was all over this story. And sometimes I went on RTE, which is the national broadcaster. And Ireland was all over this story, and they were absolutely convinced, as it was later turned out because Marion Ryan didn't have a case, that that our system was skewed against Ashling Brady McCarthy, and it was impossible for them to get information, which in this digital age, worldwide digital age of the internet, if things were online, they would have had more faith in us. Our ally, Ireland, would have had more faith in our judicial system. And it wouldn't be as closed as, say, China, where I used to live and where I used to work, and where the police are very upfront when you go right in, because you see the sickle and the hammer right there. And so you know their job is to represent the party. Here, it's not upfront, but we got the same thing going on. I don't know who these people are representing, but I don't think they're representing you, the listener, right now, or you, Michelle, or me. And I think that is the fundamental issue here on this legislation, that if we want something to happen, we have to speak directly to our state senator. We have to call them up, call their office, leave a message, say, I want a records law that gives reduced fees for public information, mandatory attorney fees, straightforward, effective appeals processes, and firm time frames for these records. It's the only way this is going to happen. It's not going to happen by you and me talking over the radio. Somebody's driving home and saying, great idea. I like that, Michelle. Whoever that guy is, that's fine too. He's okay. No, it only happens if you pick up the phone and you call your state senator and you say, I would like you to know that I, your constituent, want you to move in the direction of a better records law.
And so what do you urge people to do? Because I know that I already spoke with my senator, Anthony Petrocelli, who's leaving.
What'd he say? He's leaving. That's the one that's going away. You have an election over there in Boston, right?
Yes, they do. I know. There's some interesting information about that election, but I'm not getting involved, okay, despite what the rumors are saying. But Dan Rizzo, the former mayor of Revere, announced today that he's going to jump into the race for Senate. But let me tell you, I'll tell Dan Rizzo exactly what I told Anthony Petrocelli. This is something that needs to pass, only because of the credibility of our state.
I don't think they're going to have an impact on this, because it's February 4th looks like our drop-dead day when the Senate is probably going to act. So there isn't much time. The reason why I'm on the air with you today is to urge people to act, to call their state senator if they would like this thing to move in the right direction, to gain momentum for this legislation. We have a rally Thursday out in front of the State House before the State of the Commonwealth. If anyone would like to come and freeze with us outside about 4:35 in the afternoon, and show their support for reporters, if that's what you'd like to do, you're more than welcome. But more important than that, believe it or not, it's that simple telephone call to a state senator, a simple letter to a state senator, and you can find the particulars of what we're looking for at our site, spjne.org, or at the ACLU site, if you miss what I'm saying here on the air. And believe it or not, these senators, this is how you move legislation, by getting.
Listen, they only respond to public embarrassment. Nah. You have to really keep them accountable in some sort of way.
Some of them, I Michelle, can I respectfully disagree with you?
Yes, you can, Bill.
Okay.
Marcus. I've been doing it in this town for a long time, and I did it in New York. Trust me. There's one thing I know is that they react to public embarrassment. And when their constituents
they
call
do.
Them and say, what the hell? Why wouldn't you want public records to be accessible? That's when they react.
But they also react to constituent lobbying, constituent calls, because constituents don't usually call on bills. So it makes it very unusual. So if a member's on the floor and they're not sure how to vote and they call back the office and they say, where are the letters? Where are the phone calls? And their staff says, you know, it's unusual. We've gotten a lot of calls on this one. They say, oh, I better take note of that. Because rule number one, you got to get elected. Rule number two, don't forget rule number one.
I'm with you 100%. Bill Marcus, how can people find out more about this legislation? I know you can go to the ACLU's website. You can go to the Society of Professional Journalists in New England website. And is there a way for people to reach out directly with questions?
I should have been prepared for that, should I? All right. I'm going to refer folks to the ACLU, is it ACLU? Let's make sure that I'm speaking to you over my computer. And a lot of your listeners may say, ACLU, I don't want to be part of that, because that's not necessarily what they're into.
It's not ordinary that I'd be on the same side of
right.
The ACLU on most matters. But on this one, I am.
And I'm looking on their site right now. Where is this? ACLUM.org. Let's see what we've got on ours. And I'm thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to dig around here.
Yeah, don't you worry. I'll tweet that out at my Twitter page, which is Michelle with one L, M-C-P-H-E-E. You can also go to the Michelle McPhee Show Facebook page. We'll post all the information there. I'm with you in your fight. Even though I can't be at the rally on Thursday night, I am with you in your fight. I think this is an important issue, and one that speaks to the integrity of Massachusetts. Look, we have a Secretary of State that had to have an FBI watchdog to make sure it counted the votes of our veterans serving overseas. That's the same guy who's supposed to be the watchdog for FOIA requests for the Freedom of Information Act. It makes absolutely no sense, and it can only happen here in Massachusetts, and only if we let it.
Thank you, Michelle.
So thank you very much, Bill Marcus. I'm Michelle McPhee. We are 1510 WMEX 617-237-1234.